Welcome to Shotgun Saturday Nights, the unofficial fan cast where we hang out and discuss everything King Falls AM and Improv on Tape. Warning, this podcast does contain spoilers, specifically for King Falls episode 22, Somewhere Under the Rainbow. Oh, wrong song. And Improv on Tape season 2, episode 7, Griplop, Griplop, 473. But also in general, and hey, you get it, you know the drill. We try to stay away from things that are major, but we never do because what would be the fun in that? You know, anyway. Okay, back to our discussion. It is, yeah, Majel Barrett, and she played...
Majel Barrett.
Yeah, I knew it was something like that.
But isn't it Majel Barrett Roddenberry? Or is it just Majel Barrett?
Well, IMDb just has her listed as Majel Barrett.
Oh, okay.
But yes, she played, now let me get in here. Oh, hey, she was in Hamlet. Okay, good to know.
No shit. What's
the computer? We know that already. I need better glasses. Good Lord. Yes, we know. The voice of the computer. And narrators. And she played the voice of the computer in the Family Guy episode that did Star Trek as well.
That's awesome.
In Final Conflict, she played Dr. Julian Bellman. And let's see. Come on. I just want to know what she did in Star Trek. I don't care what she did in the other stuff.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah, you know, I was gonna say she did play the role as narrator, especially on Deep Space Nine. I remember her voice.
Yeah. Luoxana Troi.
Yeah, Luoxana.
Yeah.
God, that's a fucking mouthful.
Nurse Chapel, and then later Dr. Chapel in Star Trek the Motion Picture.
She a buddy.
That's right. You get yours, girl. You go become a doctor. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. You know, it's not like in whatever year that was supposed to be taking place, there was a glass ceiling that women couldn't, you know, reach.
Right. Let me tell you what.
What?
Gene Roddenberry is a goddamn prophet.
He is
fucking goddamn prophet. He might have been, you know,
kind of sexist
and a little bit of a ladies man, but that motherfucker, holy shit, the shit that he came up with, man, it's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy. I think honestly, like, if it wasn't for him, and if it wasn't for like Steven Spielberg.
Yes, and you're right about him and Steven Spielberg.
Oh, for sure. Like,
yeah.
If it wasn't for the both of them.
Yeah. Women got a lot further in TV and movies because, partially at least because of them. I won't say primarily, but partially because of them. Something on Twitter caught my eye while I was putting away IMDb. They were not, you know, the greatest guys, but I'm not going to, you know, who among us is perfect? I know we aren't, so I try to pretend sometimes.
I'm sorry, what?
I know, I'm not. I hate to
admit. And also, because I'm a dumbass, George Lucas.
George Lucas, yes. And oh my God, the strides in sci-fi and horror that these guys made.
Like, God damn. Like, if it wasn't for those three icons, like, they like, NASA, like, nobody would give a shit about NASA. Like, the fucking Mars rover shit, that wouldn't have happened. You know, I mean, they were just coming up with shit for TV shows, and like people are now like trying to come up with like worldwide translators and you know, and shit that they could only fucking dream about.
If you have a smartphone,
crazy.
Basically the only difference between a smartphone and the data pads that they used in like Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
By the way they look.
Yeah. Legit.
Your phone is a universal translator. Well, okay. A global
translator. Well,
true. I won't say universal. We don't translate anything from beyond the stars.
Yes.
If not yet. Or maybe we do, and we just don't know because they haven't told us. Because the deep state and the government.
I'm joking.
And, it's a tablet. It's a notepad. You can read on it. It's a computer. It's a phone. It name anything you want to do, and 90% of it you can do on your phone.
Legit.
You know?
I'm sorry, dear listeners. You thought this was a fucking KFAM and Improv on Tape podcast? No, bitches.
No, it's an...
And I say bitches. Sci-fi. I call you bitches with the utmost respect and love. Because you're listening to us still. And I appreciate that. And Dana does as well.
Yes, I do.
No, bitches. This is not just a KFAM Improv on Tape podcast. We talk about some cool-ass shit on here. And you know what? The cool-ass shit we're talking about right now? Motherfucking epic sci-fi shit. Okay? So just chillax. We're gonna get to the episode.
We will. Yeah, I mean, and come on, let's face it. We usually talk about things like what? The government?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And we bitch about the lunatics in Congress and especially in the Senate.
I'd rather we fucking talk about fucking sci-fi shit.
Well, believe me, I could be bitching about some of the shit that some of the people have said this week. But yes, I would rather talk about, you know, Star Trek.
Yeah, buddy.
And, oh, by the way, you can be a fan of both Star Trek and Star Wars. I am sick and tired of this little war that we keep putting on between each other.
There really isn't a contest, though. I mean...
Well, even if it is...
I mean, Star Trek and Star Wars, yeah, they both take place in fucking space.
But they're totally different.
But, like, that's it.
Exactly the same, but they're totally different.
That's like talking about KFAM and a certain podcast.
That other one that shall not be named?
Yeah. The one that shall not be named. You know, they both kind of take place in fucking radio stations. I'm just saying that a certain 660 on the AM radio dial is a little bit more awesomer. I'm just saying.
Yes.
Although, honestly, if I could get both of those motherfucking stations, I wouldn't complain. But I'd rather have 660 than the unknown. Yes. I'm just... You know, and let me repeat that. I would rather have 6:60 a.m. And I'm just repeating that for no reason.
Because, as we stated last week, they are a bright spot in many people's lives.
Yes, a very, very bright spot in people's lives. And we're not saying this. We're saying this for no reason whatsoever. I mean, we don't have any ulterior motive. I mean,
come on.
We don't have any hidden agenda or ulterior motive. What are you talking about? I mean, I don't laugh when I lie. Yeah, we might have a hidden agenda.
Sorry about that.
But come on, you all know what it is by now. We want our boys
back.
And I'm still holding out hope. I still got that little minuscule.
Nothing is impossible, but...
They have not called me a fucking asshole yet, so plus... Although they're probably getting tired of hearing me fucking flap off at the gums. But I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. If you're getting tired of that, just record, about 15, 30 seconds. Record. Just go.
You forward?
Because I love you motherfuckers. And I think you guys can fucking bring it back. You just have to fucking work on your differences. And if the differences is money, then who gives a shit? It's fucking money. King Falls AM is bigger than money. The end. It is greater than fucking money. It is fucking priceless.
I am not arguing with anybody on that one. I think that, you know, and I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. You know, there are egos on all sides involved. I mean, if nobody had an ego involved, then there wouldn't be a conflict in the first place. Because, you know, everybody would just agree if they didn't have an ego.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have an ego.
So do I. Freud did a whole thing on the ego. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but Freud was kind of fucked up.
Well, yeah, this is true. Freud kept telling us about why we all want to sleep with our mothers and can't poop. So, yeah, Freud had some issues of his own. But he was not wrong about everything he did.
We're just saying, we appreciate the fuck out of you. We understand hurt feelings. We get it.
Oh, I have held some grudges in my day.
Girl, yes. I am like the grudge motherfucking queen. But you know what? You know what? If anything, this motherfucking COVID bullshittery has taught me that fucking grudges are great to have. But what the fuck's the point of keeping them? The fuck? You're not fucking hurting anybody but your fucking self. And it just, it fucking sucks, dude. It fucking sucks because all you're doing is carrying that fucking weight around. me in the literal sense, you know what I'm saying?
Oh. Right there, man. Bang a drum tune on my thighs.
You know, it's just like, what the fuck? You know, life's fucking short.
It is. You know, I'm still holding on to shit that I need to not be holding on to, but whatever. I've holding on to.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I am fucking moving on. But not from King Falls AM.
No, not from King Falls.
Because it, there's still hope.
Awesome.
Okay. News. News.
I know. I pulled up the news.
Well, I pulled it up too. Excuse me.
All right, Dawn's just thrilled to be getting her soda in, apparently, and back out.
Yes. So, Podbean is holding some epic fucking shit next week. It's called Podcast Week. And Improv on Tape is going to be one of the podcasts that are going to be participating in it. It is from Wednesday, July 21st to Sunday, July 25th. And if you head over to podcastweek.live/storytelling and use the code improv, you get a free pass to the whole fucking kit and caboodle. This motherfucking thing, legit, boys, girls, guys, gals, non-binary pals, this motherfucking thing costs like 50 fucking bucks.
Yeah, it was like 45
bucks. If you're gonna,
thank God for PPAP.
Yeah, it was like 50 fucking bucks for the whole thing. You use the code improv like I did.
And so did I.
And that bitch ass is free. That's right. It's free. So do it.
And not only will they be doing a live version of Winnie the Pooh, and I still say I will be very disappointed if there are not poop jokes. You cannot have a bear named Pooh and not have a few poop jokes. Yep. But everybody's favorite sheriff, Eric Kimbleton, will be also participating in a panel on Saturday the 24th at 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Ew.
With some other people. He'll be talking about, I'm assuming he'll be talking about King Falls and improv. There is also going to be Elijah Bailey from A Little Bit of Anime. Mary Clay Watt with That's What I'm Talking About is her show. Jeffrey Canner from Within the Wires. And there may be other people involved in that one as well. But that was just the one that Eric tweeted out earlier today. So he'll be doing a separate show. And some of the other folks may be doing a separate show. They may not. I don't know. We will find out.
Check it out.
Next week.
Because yeah. My ass is going to. They already know I'm going to be there.
Yes. Well,
not there, but online.
We'll be there. And it is, from what I understand, from reading it, you can listen in live, but everything is also being recorded. So if you have to do things like work, because unfortunately some of us have to pay
that.
I know.
Like work? Oh my God.
It's this thing that you do in exchange for this number being put in your bank. And then you take that number and you do things like exchange that for, you know, shelter and food and medicine.
Like, and okay.
I call it a number, not
like
money.
Whatever.
It doesn't have actual money anymore. It's just a number.
Whatever, I do what I want.
My hot body, I do what I want. Sorry, Eric.
I'm oh just my like... God.
And then the silence. Did I ever
tell you? Sound of silence.
You know what? We never introduced ourselves, by the way. I'm Dana.
And I'm Derpy.
Derpy over here.
Yep,
did I Derpy. Ever tell you when I went as Cartman for Halloween one year?
You did.
Yeah, thank God that was before.
And you were like, respect my authority. No, kitty, that's my papa. That's my papa. No, kitty, that's my papa.
No, kitty, it's my papa. My dog's looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm not a kitty, but you can have papa.
Yeah. Alrighty.
So, yeah, anyway, that is our announcements. I don't have any other announcements, just that one was my announcement.
Me neither.
Because it's only been a week, people.
Other than
you sit online all day and not work and goof off.
Yeah.
Oh wait. No, we need to. Shh, don't say that. Don't tell my boss. That's what I do.
What you talking about, Willis? Whatever.
No, I work very hard, and I'm not on my phone at all during the day while I'm working. No.
Totally not.
Dog disappeared.
I gotta blow my nose.
Thanks for sharing.
She's like, where the fuck is Dawn, everybody? And I'm like, I'm over here in the kitchen.
Podcast.
Dawn's not fucking there
with us. This is the Dana show, which yeah. I have loved, and I still have yet to come up with an actual concept for it. I'm Dana, and this is Monday, and I'm wearing pants. That's the name of my show. It's Monday and I'm wearing pants. Except technically today is Saturday and I'm wearing pajama bottom. But anyway, on to discussing King Falls. Episode 22, Somewhere Under the Rainbow. This episode originally aired on March 15th, 2016. We open as if we're there. God damn it, we are there. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
We are there.
We are there.
We're everywhere.
Me. Anyway, we open with Ben telling people to use caution with the rainbow lights because they're still hanging around 2 weeks ago. And Sammy agrees, you know, use caution everywhere in your life, not just with the rainbow lights. Mayor Grisham is asking everyone not to look directly into lights or to harm or harass them in any way. And of course, Sammy automatically just immediately goes into what an idiot Grisham is, because how can you harm or harass a light? I don't know. I'm not Mayor Grisham.
He probably knows a way to harm or harass a light. He's not fucking telling people.
Exactly. He knows how to harm and harass lights. Go outside if you're going to bark at whatever the hell you're barking at. I've told you that already. Sorry, folks.
I'm not fucking adding you to the goddamn credits of the show. if you're going to bark, you got to pay me to add you to the credits of this show. It's not going to fucking happen. So you got to contribute. You got to contribute to me before you can contribute to the show. Comprende, comprende.
He has an opinion about everything, see?
Oh, is that how it's going to be?
That's exactly what he thinks about you and your contributions.
Well, you know he what?
No, my mommy already told me I'm allowed to have an opinion. And then she told me to shut up. So,
you know what, puppy? You're allowed to have an opinion, but let's see some coin. One Bitcoin every bark.
Well,
you're going to be owing me some money.
He says, I don't have a job, so I don't got no Bitcoins.
Well, you better find something. Pepperoni and cheese. He also
doesn't pull his weight around the house.
You better find something, pepperoni and cheese.
Didn't help me do dishes earlier.
Unacceptable.
Don't help me bring the groceries in.
Nope.
Did not help me catch the mouse that was running around in the kitchen.
Ooh, no, sir.
Came down stairs one morning at like 5:30 in the morning, glanced over in the kitchen, and the mousetrap is in the middle of the kitchen floor, which is not where it started. And all you can see is the tail hanging out of the back of the mousetrap. But I got rid of the damn mouse.
Unacceptable, dog.
I know. He used to chase mice around because we have a big field out behind us and they're doing construction, so it's chasing mice into everybody's houses. Mm. And, a couple of years back, was sitting here with the front door open and a little mouse got all brave and ran into the house. And he took off after that mouse and chased it back outside. The mouse that came in from the construction, disturbing everything, it's here for like 2 weeks and he doesn't do shit. And I've got mouse traps all over my damn house. But I caught it.
Unacceptable.
And it's gone.
Unacceptable.
Exactly. And now, back to our story. Sammy wants to know how you can harm or harass lights. And of course, Mayor Grisham, I'm sure, has a way to harm and harass lights. Hell, he harms and harasses everything else. And he needs to do, you know, Sammy's like, he needs to be doing more. And where the hell is the National Guard? And, you know, why aren't we doing anything about these lights? Ben tries to defend the mayor, sort of half-heartedly defend the mayor. But Sammy says that all he's doing is posturing because of the upcoming election. Who else do we know who postures because of upcoming elections and does nothing?
I can think of one guy.
I can think of several. But yeah, I can think of one particular, you know, orange makeup wearing... doesn't know how to plant his foundation. Yeah, that guy. Although I don't necessarily envision Grisham as being orange.
No. I think he's tanned. Once in a lifetime thing. Oh, he's tanned, but he's not like an orange asshole.
He's fake and baked tan, but he's not, you know.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? You know what that motherfucker's like? You know what that motherfucker Grisham's like? He's like motherfucking Ted Cruz going to Cancun for a fucking 2 hours tan. That's what he's
more
like
Ted Cruz than he is bacon bake. Yeah, than spray on tan. Or that, oh my God, do you remember that lady? She couldn't have been more than 30, but she had tanned so much. She looked like she was about 110.
Yeah.
And her skin just looked like wrinkly, crinkled up.
I'm telling you what, that woman that woman looked like a fucking dried up fucking cooked chicken.
No, I've seen dried up overcooked chicken that looked better than her.
I mean, that's what she looked like. Dried up old chicken.
Yeah. She looked like something, all right. She looked more like a dog turd that had been sitting outside too long. Anyway, and I would know because I haven't cleaned up my yard in a while. Anyway, Sammy says, I know I got to do that too. Sammy says all that the mayor is doing is posturing because of the upcoming election. Ben wants to focus on the positive, the bronies, man.
The bronies.
The bronies. They are making a pilgrimage to King Falls because of the lights. Sammy isn't happy about it because he almost got stampeded coming out of Rosie's. And Ben thinks maybe they recognize Sammy as one of their own. But Sammy thinks he gives off more of a furry vibe.
He does.
He does. He does, kind of. Yeah.
You know, I'm actually kind of wondering, like, what furry would Sammy be if he was a furry? I mean, I'm kind of feeling like Sammy would totally rock like a wolf furry.
He might. Yeah, what kind of furry would Ben be?
Ben, oh my god, that motherfucker, he would be like, I'm pretty sure he would either be a I'm pretty sure he would be like a chipmunk.
Yeah.
Or
something small and cute.
Yep. Maybe a sugar glider. Maybe a sugar glider.
Ooh, a sugar glider. Definitely not a garbage bear, though.
Nope. Nope.
How about Troy?
Oh, shit. Okay, so Troy, I picture as being like a hound dog. I think he's some type of dog.
Yeah, maybe.
Like a German Shepherd.
Yeah, I think more like a German Shepherd. Because I love the hound dogs with the big old floppy ears, but they're kind of derpy derp dogs. Or at least they look derpy derp dogs. So yeah, I think maybe a German Shepherd or a Doberman or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we may think that old Deputy Troy is a bit of a derpy derp, but man, don't piss him off.
It's true.
I'm just telling you. Piss that boy off and you're in trouble. But we digress. Oh, wait. That's nothing unusual there. Sammy tells the people who are traveling or people to travel in packs and be cautious because there is, you know, safety in numbers. And Sammy's sleep is disturbed by the lights. He's tired. He's cranky. I feel you, Sammy. And I don't even have rainbow lights.
Sammy, yes. Yes, King.
He's tired, Ben. He's just tired. Mm-hmm. I get it, though. I understand. I'm tired, too, Ben.
Motherfucker's tired.
That's right. I could go to bed right now and not wake up until tomorrow morning and be perfectly fine with it. And it is 5:44 in the evening, my time. Yep. Anyway, they open up the phone lines and it's line 3 and guess what? It's our favorite vampire, HFB3. Sammy Sammy doesn't mention the third. It's Howard Ford Beauregard. The third. Ben points out that it is an important part of the name because HFB1 and HFB2 are probably still milling around in the dungeon because they're undying vampires. HFB3 tells Sammy he will not be addressing his man, and by his man he means Ben, because Howard has some antiquated ideas about some people.
Yep.
And Ben would apparently be one of them. He's calling because there is a rumor being spread around about him that he may be the one causing the rainbow lights. And he's calling to set the record straight that he has nothing to do with it. Sammy hasn't heard this rumor, but Ben has, probably because Ben started the rumor. Come on, let's face it. This is Ben we're talking about. He wasn't going to say anything because nobody has a ray gun that can shoot rainbows and turn off all the electronics.
Except for maybe
my favorite vampire on the hill.
Maybe.
HFB3 tells them to stop because that's how rumors get started in the first place. And Ben reminds Sammy about all the tweets that they've been getting frequently about somebody breaking into the broadcast. I skipped something on there. Oh, no. Yeah, about the tweets breaking into the broadcast because ever since the Electrolocaust, because they don't notice anybody breaking into the broadcast, but they've been getting tweets about it. HFB3 stammers something and denies that he does not have a transmogrifier. And who said transmogrifier? He refuses to answer the boys' questions, threatening to call Grisham and Gunderson and have the radio station shut down because he can crush them. Sammy goes, with your rainbow electrolocostrega? And of course, Ben is like, is that a threat? It sounds like a threat. Going back to that tweet that I put the other day. Is that a threat? It sounds like a threat. I was channeling my inner Ben Arnold that day. I channeled Ben Arnold on that one quite a lot. HFB3, there is no ray gun. There is no threat. And the boys, or HFB3 and the boys go, the third, because they remembered this time, is not a man to be taken lightly. He is not a man to be bullied. He is not a man, but a vampire. And this is not the last time we will hear from him. This is not over. And he hangs up the phone. Ben is convinced that this is the craziest thing they're going to get all night and nothing's going to top it. Sammy's kind of skeptical, so Ben suggests a $10 bet. Sammy agrees. Spoiler alert, Sammy won. Moving on to the next caller, it's line 5, and it's Ron Begley. He's yelling at somebody. Like, they answer the phone, and all you hear is Ron Begley yelling at somebody to get off his property. He tells the boys that there's a lot of unmarked police cars making their way, making all kinds of racket up there on his property, that woke him up in the middle of his John Stamos dream. You know, Ron, I would be pissy if people woke me up in the middle of a John Stamos dream too. I'm just saying. And I'm
honestly not, Ron, John Stamos.
You know, I mean, John really? Stamos is not on my list of top 10 favorite actors or anything, but
I mean,
I'd be pissed off if they woke me up in a John Stamos dream too.
John motherfucking Stamos. I mean, he's, come on.
Good looking guy.
Come on. John Stamos.
He's not a bad looking dude. I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers. I'm just saying. I wouldn't let him stay there for very long, you know.
Like,
but I wouldn't kick him
out. Now, Ron. If it was like John Stewart or Stephen Colbert, okay. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Ron has a thing for John Stamos. There's nothing wrong with that. They're in the same age bracket. He grew up watching, maybe he kind of hung out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he grew up watching fucking Full House.
Full House, and yeah. And what
as did we.
I was full on adult by the time Full House came on. And wasn't John Stamos in General Hospital or something?
I think so, before he fucking joined Full House, yeah.
Hang on, folks.
There are a lot of fucking actors that get their start in soap operas.
Oh, yeah. That's where they work out the bad acting and they figure out how to do it right.
Because that dude in fucking Criminal Minds, he started on a fucking soap opera.
There's bad acting galore in
maybe I should try out for a soap opera.
Maybe
I'll call it.
He was in ER.
Call it Dawn's Derpy Days.
He was in ER for quite a bit.
Woo.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, fucking
movies. I'm just trying to find
Full House was before ER, though.
No, ER was
before. Or, as Mina say it, ER.
Yeah. I'm just looking to see which. Soap he was in. He was in 2 episodes of Glee.
Well.
Yep. I know.
Like, okay. OMG, dude. Man,
his IMDb bio is fucking long as hell, man, and I cannot find what soap opera he was in. I'm still scrolling.
Man, all I know is that our listeners should be super happy.
He was in Baywatch, apparently.
Huh?
He was in Baywatch.
Oh.
Yeah, it was probably just like one episode. Yeah, I...
I should just call myself Dabba the Hutt.
You are so weird.
Are you fucking taking... Okay, no, you're probably still looking up the thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm still here, hang on. It was General Hospital. Okay. He was in General Hospital from 1982 to 1986.
That's what it was. Boom. And
he actually won. He was, well, not won. He was nominated for a Daytime Emmy in 1984. So there you go. And why was I doing all of that? Oh, yeah. Because that's why Ron has a thing for John Stamos. He grew up, like I did, watching General Hospital. And John Stamos was on there, and maybe Ron was even an adult when during those years. So
let's get real though. Between General Hospital, between the Battle of the fucking, the Battle of the motherfucking soap operas, Days of Our Lives whoops General Hospital, whoops it had.
Yeah, here is where my nerd card and my soap opera card get revoked.
Whoops it.
During the prime time of, you know, the heyday of the soap operas and, you know, Star Trek and Star Trek Next Generation and all that other stuff, we lived in Germany on the military Whoa. Base. This was back in the day before they had cable in Germany, before they had American cable in Germany. We had one television channel to watch. And it was 6 months behind. I would be watching General, and I think General Hospital, and we may have had Days of Our Lives, but I, you know, we didn't record anything. We didn't have DVRs. You know, VCRs were the thing. And kids, VCRs are a big box, and they put this tape into it, and it recorded everything. For those of you who are unfamiliar with that.
Yep.
And those tapes got fucked up all the time. So, you know, I had, by the time I got off school, I had one soap opera to watch. It was 6 months behind. So every summer when I'd come back to the States to visit my dad for the summer, I had lost 6 months of General Hospital. I had no idea what was going on. And then I went back to Germany when I went back to school and was I know, I see you doing this.
That's so cool.
Look, it's flappies, it's flappies. Dawn's being weird again. So yeah. And then we had one movie theater on base, which showed the same, it only showed one movie at a time. There were none of these mega multiplexes on base, because I didn't speak German, so I couldn't go out onto the economy and watch movies. And I couldn't watch German.
Deutsch?
Nope. Nine. I did not put much effort into learning either. I'm not going to lie. I was one of those Americans who didn't try to learn German. So, yeah. My formative years were spent with one TV channel. I read a lot of books. And even then, I had one bookstore that I could go to. It was the bookstore on base, and it had a very limited selection of books. So, every summer I'd come back with a whole bunch of books, because I'd hit the bookstores when I was home to visit my dad, and I'd bring him a bunch of videotapes too. But anyway, where are we? Where were we? That is where
Ron talking about John Stamos.
Yes, that is where Ron got his crush on John Stamos. We just took the scenic route to get there. So anyway, all these people, you know, they're all these unmarked cop cars, they're making a racket on his property, interrupted his John Stamos dream. He asked the boys if they've heard anything about, you know, what could be going on by the lake. And of course, they haven't heard anything. Ben says he's going to call Troy, but Ron's like, don't bother, because he just showed up. Sammy wants to know if there's anything that you know, if maybe it has anything to do with the body that Cecil and Herschel found a couple weeks back. Troy gets on the phone and he says that he's just there to tell Ron that the officers that are at his house are FBI. He was coming to warn Ron about them, but they got there first. And Ron doesn't care who they are, because right now they're on his property and they are crushing his begonias, which are not only aesthetically pleasing, but they're good for the environment.
Yep.
You do not crush a man's begonias.
Yeah, don't be doing it.
Do not be crushing a man's flowers. I'm telling you guys.
Don't be crushing his motherfucking flowers or he's gonna kick your ass.
And quite frankly, I think Ron could take some of these folks.
And quite frankly, if you do that, then you deserve it.
That's right. Now, I'm not saying he could take all of them because there were five cop cars, you know, five FBI cars up there. Typically run in teams, so there's at least 10 FBI agents up there, maybe more, because sometimes they have more than one person in a car. So, I mean, Ron wouldn't get very many ass kickings in before he got his own ass kicked at that point, just based on sheer numbers. But still, Ron's well, ability's not that good.
I figure that Kingsley would come to his aid if they were near the waterfront.
Yeah, I don't know how far his cabin is from the water. And is Kingsley more like a brontosaurus with feet and he can get up on the ground and walk around?
No, I think Kingsley, Kingsley is definitely waterbound, but yeah. I think Kingsley could fucking whoop some ass still, like with her tail or like reach over with it and go, you know, like that.
Yeah, if they're close enough to the water, I think Kingsley can get them. And all Ron's got to do is push him in the water and there you go. The boys ask what's going on. Troy says he has no idea, but he can't talk about anything official on the air. Like, come on, Ben, you know he can't talk about anything official police business on the air. But he suggests that what the boys should do is call Dr. Rosenblum because he can and will talk about not official police business on the air. Wink, wink, nudge.
Say no more.
Ben is, of course, overly excited about, we're going to go do that. Okay, yeah, it's like one of our very first Ben explosions that we ever hear. Excuse me, sorry. And Sammy warns the listeners, just don't head up that way. If you're out and about this time of night, just don't go up to Ron's. Ben asks if they should call Dr. Rosenblum. Sammy's like, not sure, because the doctor creeps him out. Yeah, the doctor creeps us all out, Sammy. Deal with it. And Ben was like, oh, because of the zombie thing. And Sammy's like, dude, I wasn't even thinking about the zombie thing. But
it's totally the fucking zombie thing.
Oh, it's totally the zombie thing. Well, and just his voice anyway. They cut to a commercial, which is a campaign commercial for Mayor Grisham. And we're just going to blow right past that because we don't deserve
it. We all know what they sound like.
Yeah. Woo, can you hear the thunder? That was some
thunder. Nuts. Hear the thunder. Boom, 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 boom. Thunder.
Yeah, that. No. No, here's the thunder, people. It was a low rumble, but it was a good, you know, 7-8 second rumble. So yes, we're gonna blow past the campaign commercial for Mayor Grisham because we just don't care. Sammy rants about how the commercial and about the commercial and is mad that Ben didn't warn him that it was coming on in the first place. Because what's Sammy going to do? I mean, still got to play the commercial. He still paid for the airtime.
Yep.
Ben wants to call Rosenblum, but the lines are all lit up and Sammy doesn't want to call Rosenblum because, you know, he creeps us all the fuck out. Ben agrees and takes one call accusing Sammy of destroying his journalistic gumption. So Sammy agrees to let Ben call the doc. And wowzers. The doc answers the phone. I can't do a good Dr. Rosenblum. I'm sorry.
Wowzers.
They ask about the investigation and he doesn't know anything about the investigation. But he does wonder if boys are talking about the FBI are looking into the murder of one Rich McGuff, which Ben wants to confirm, you know, that Kingsley had nothing to do with it. And Rosenblum's like, yeah, no, Kingsley didn't murk him. He was strangled, shot, stabbed, and beaten. Hmm. Seems like a bit of, if you'll pardon the pun, overkill at this point.
And it also kind of reminds me of Rasputin.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to make sure he was down for the count too. And oh my God, I can't remember where they got this Easter egg from, what they was a callback to. Because they talked about it in Beyond the Falls, but I can't remember what it was for now.
Yeah.
Once Rich awakened, Doc Rosenblum tried to get him to talk and ask him if he knew who killed him, but there was, of course, only hissing and guttural sounds. Ben asks if Rich McGuff was a zombie. Rosenblum does not like to use the Z word. He prefers reanimated corpses. And after some stimuli, he was able to wake him up, but didn't say anything. And Rich McGuff is the 10th such instance of this happening since the Lake Hatchinhaw John Doe. There's nothing behind the eyes. After the initial passing, the lights are on, knock, knock, but nobody's home. I sound more like Eeyore than I do Dr. Rosenblum.
You do sound like Eeyore.
Oh, bother. Ben asks what's going on. And of course, there's not a lot going on. It's not like Rosenblum is amassing an army of the undead to do his bidding. Now, I don't know if he's amassing said army to do his bidding or not, but Eric can confirm from his trip to King Falls when he went on vacation a couple weeks back, he did say he saw the army. He didn't see Kingsley. There were no Kingsley sightings, which is kind of disappointing. But he did see the army of the undead marching around.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Eric, no fucking photos, dude. What the shit, guy? I know, right?
Like, photos or it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro, Sif. Yeah, bro, Tato Chip. Yeah.
Chachos.
Bro, Chacho. Yeah. Broheim.
We do have one eyewitness to said army of the undead.
Yeah, protein.
Cannot confirm whether or not they were actually doing any of Rosenblum's bidding, but you never can tell. I lost my place. Okay. And that's all Sammy can deal with. He's like, folks, I'm done. I'm out of here. He tells the folks to keep Rich McGuff in their thoughts while Ben suggests going down to the coroner's office and throwing uncooked meat at him because he's a zombie. Rosenblum reassures the boys that all of the undead are contained and accounted for.
For now.
Yeah, for now. Yeah, they're contained.
Until there's a goddamn... Spencer,
until Eric shows up.
Until there's a goddamn Spencer Mansion incident. Resident Evil.
Yeah, until Eric shows up and they've all suddenly been released for some reason.
Yep.
But everything is under control, except for, you know, of course, there being a murderer on the loose. But yep. He has to go because he does hear some rattling coming from the cold chamber, and he hasn't seen his intern Zoe in a while.
Zoe got killed by the zombies.
Zoe may be the 11th member of said undead army. We don't know because nobody ever confirms or denies if Zoe was found and in what state she was found.
Sure.
Sammy suggests going on break, but the hotline is all lit up. So Sammy, much like me, is like, fuck it, answer the phone. It can't get any crazier than this. And Ben's like, you want to go double or nothing on that bet? Anyway, on the phone, it's Archie. It's Plum Chee Palace. Jazz hands. He is calling with the biggest news in the show's history. And no, it's not the werewolves. He does tell them, he does tell them that they're probably back at the trailer park now that the rainbow lights are gone. Ben gets up to go double check and confirm that the rainbow lights are gone. And Archie's like, well, yeah, but there's more to that. There's more to the story than that. This news just happens to send... wait, hang on. I've totally lost my spot in my notes. Yeah, okay. I've lost it. Sammy sends Ben to check. That's not the news that Archie's calling about, but before he can tell anything about it, Ben goes off. Or before Ben gets, and you know, and he goes off on about, on a tangent about how he needs to get ready because, oh my God, they're going to send the Gazette up there and they're going to want to take pictures and he needs a mani-pedi and he needs to put on the princess's tiara. And Sammy's like, they're not sending the Gazette if you don't shut up and tell us what the hell you're talking about. And Sammy does say, however, that the bronies are going to be very disappointed now that the rainbow lights are gone. Archie interrupts if Ben would close his trap and tell him, because he's got more news. He was taking a bath because he pulled something while trying to learn the stanky leg. I can just see Archie trying to do the stanky leg. By the way, him and Rufus.
Yep. Been
trying to learn the stanky leg. He hears a banging on his door, and when he answers it, there's a fully nude man just dangling and banging in front of his door.
Oh, shit.
Ben is like, Archie, did you sign up for the naked yoga class? It's none of your business, but he might have. Anyway, but no, it has nothing to do with Billy Sherwood's naked yoga. He tells the boys, he tells the boys they better be thankful and gives the phone over to the man. And it is Tim Jensen. It is one Timothy freaking Jensen. He's back and he's trying to find his way home, but he can't remember how to get there.
It is one Tim Jensen 1000 robot.
Well, okay. Spoilers much. We don't know that
spoilers.
Yet.
Well, we do now.
Tim Botnick.
He's a motherfucking robot. Motherfucking robot.
We didn't know that yet. Duh.
Yeah, well, we do now.
Well, yes, we do now. I'm sorry. I did warn you guys in advance when we started. And honestly, if you're like listening along to King Falls at the same rate you're listening to us, why?
Yeah, don't fucking listen to King Falls. I am once, every 2 weeks. No.
All King the way Falls, through King Falls.
King motherfucking Falls, okay?
If you're King new to King Falls and just found us, we apologize. Go finish King Falls and then come back.
Bop. So King...
Bop you.
Motherfucking Falls is the greatest fucking podcast known to humankind. And it is that because I say so, okay? And for the listening experience, you do not listen to a fucking podcast like King Falls AM once every 2 weeks. You don't do it. You have to binge it. It has to be a marathon for the mind. Okay. Because it's that amazeballs.
I was speaking to the new listeners who haven't caught up
yet. You will fucking thank me later. Okay.
This episode has been out since 2016, so we can't really call spoilers 5 years later. But, you know, anybody who hasn't caught up to that last episode.
Don't be surprised that after 100, there's a little bit of a long-ass break. But it ain't over till the fat lady sings, and I haven't sung yet.
I've sang several times. Apparently, I'm not the fat lady in question.
Nope.
That should have been the name of our podcast. Two fat ladies talking about King Falls.
Two fat ladies in King Falls.
Two fat ladies. Oh, my God.
Dude, so we've got another thing of news, dude.
That was Kyle's the end of King Falls. So, yeah, what is your news again?
Kyle's coming out with another podcast.
Oh, yeah, but we don't know when or the name or anything like that, so that's why I didn't mention
it. Yeah, we know the name.
As soon as we find out, you know, more stuff.
We know the fucking, oh, we know the fucking name.
He did tell us the name.
Hold on.
Yes, he did tell us the name. It's not coming out till this fall sometime, though.
He is a fucking wizard and a half. All right. So his motherfucking podcast.
Something about life coaches, bad life coaches or something like that.
Bad life coaches, I think.
Yeah. We don't have a date. It's sometime this fall is all he said.
Yes. So bad life coaches.
We'll tell you. Yeah. Yes. That was the only reason I didn't mention it, because we don't have a date yet.
It's okay though. It's okay because it's Kyle. And you know what? If you're like me, you need to hear that motherfucker's voice. Because it is like goddamn butter. Some might even say better than butter. Some might say a nice fucking caramel voice.
Okay. He is doing this with one of his... I am not one to interrupt the Kyle worship. I'm just saying. And there are many, many of us out there who partake in Kyle worship from time to time. It just was not my turn. Yes, he's doing this with one of his friends. He's like some friend he's known for 25 years. He hasn't said who.
I'm wondering if it's fucking the dude that played fucking Dusty Reynolds.
Could be. That was a thought. Well, if he's doing a podcast with Dusty Reynolds.
That would be fucking tight.
Because I know he's going to talk about the Garth Brooks concert. So that would be a great intro for Dusty Reynolds to come in.
Yeah, buddy.
I'd like to hear Dusty Reynolds try and put his spin on a Garth Brooks song. I'm just saying.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah.
So. But yeah, as soon as we know any news on that, we will share said news like we always do.
Yep.
But anyway, onto the next is Improv on Tape. And what did I say? This was season 2, episode 7.
A bunch of stuff happens.
Yes, a bunch of stuff happens. Kerplop, kerplop, 473.
Now, isn't this the fucking the season finale?
No, it's one episode left before season finale. This is the one before next episode season finale.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Everyone is doing well. Some of the actors have now got their 5G shot. So, woohoo! Good on you guys.
I got my 5G shot too. You know what? I'm still like waiting for the 5G to take control of my brain.
I know, right?
Fuck.
Yeah. Bill Gates can track us. One of the ladies, and I don't know which one it was because I just cannot distinguish between which one is which at this point. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm really bad about that, even when I've listened to them for years and years, says that no, she's actually the one doing the tracking. And I think everybody's more okay with that than with Bill Gates doing the tracking.
Yeah.
There is a reminder that the kids in this show are dropping like flies, basically. We get previous one, Improv on Tape, and this time it's Grandpa Joe, who's doing
it. Played by Owen the Badass.
I can't say it without doing it. Grandpa Joe. Talking about, he's given us the recap from previous episode, you know, previously on Improv on Tape. Talks about crawling through the edible grass and killing off all the Garys, met up with Charlie on the boat. There was a gun. There was gum that turned a girl into a building. He didn't get to eat anything, so he was kind of pissed about that. Squirrels ate another girl. The Garys are multiplying, and he and Charlie ripped one in half, which is basically exactly what happened in, you know, previous episodes.
They took fucking candy steroids is what happened.
Yeah, they took something, all right. Wonka finally notices that several of the children have disappeared, and he asks Mike where the other little adults have gone. Mike tells him that they're dead and wonders why Wonka is just now noticing this. Of course, you know, then Noah breaks character and says something about, well, we're assuming they're dead. Well, yeah, we kind of are at this point. I mean, come on. Wonka asks Charlie if he ever flipped the switch on Veruca's father in the previous episode when the squirrels tried to push him down the tube. And Charlie says, yes, he did, because he's a she-wolf. Wonka is very proud of him. And now there are two kids left, one of whom is Charlie. So they continue the tour as if nothing happened. They just continue the tour.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, this is probably the most disturbing part of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, any version thereof. Children start dying and they just continue the tour like nothing happened.
You know, safety first.
I don't know where this town is, but they're a bunch of fucking psychopaths. I'm just saying.
It might be Big Pine.
You know, it could be at this point. Or Skiddly Ridge. Them and their Skiddly damn Ridge. Polecats.
Yep. Fucking polecats. We'll say it's Skiddly Ridge.
Okay. Skiddly Ridge and their fucking polecats. Yep. Anyway, Wonka. So they just, you know, continue the tour. Mike calls Charlie over and suggests that maybe they need to take down the Willy Man if they want to survive. But Wonka overhears this and interrupts, so they can't really talk about the plan. Wonka tells them that everything else is going to be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. We got nothing to worry about. He has a gut feeling. And Mike's mom suggests praying. We all know how well that goes over. Grandpa Joe calls Wonka over and he asks Wonka, what exactly is Charlie to him? He tells Grandpa Joe that Charlie is his flesh and blood. And Grandpa asks if he gets to keep everything else, you know, like the muscle and the bones and the sinew.
Makes sense.
I think so. It makes perfect sense to me. Especially with everything else that's going on in Skiddly Ridge. And hey, Skittles, Chocolate Factory. Yeah, there you go. Took me a minute for that light bulb to come on. Wonka leads Charlie over to the Chocolate River and tells him to look at the water and watch as their faces melt together and melt into one. And they look just alike. And then Mike comes over and he wants to try it too. With Wonka, but it doesn't work. Their faces just look kind of distorted. So Mike's mom tells him to go back to the insurrection plan. This is one time that I will stand behind an insurrection. It doesn't happen often, but you know, in this instance where the safety of children are concerned or the lack thereof. Anyway, I am all for insurrections. Ted hears the word insurrection and pops in because of course he does. It's Ted freaking Cruz. They try to tell Ted him. Yeah. They tell him that they are also into salvation. And Ted's like, oh, that's my thing too. No, Ted. No, no. Although, you know, if this was the real Ted Cruz, I might be more inclined to pay attention to him, I think.
Yeah.
If nothing else, because it would be more entertaining. Mike calls Ted over to look into the water with him, and they look into the water and they look more alike than Mike and Wonka do.
Boo.
Interesting. And they think for a second that Ted might be Mike, Ted and Mike might be related, but they change their minds and decide, nah, never mind. And Ted leaves. Grandpa Joe asks Wonka why he can't remember Charlie's birth. It's like all of a sudden he just appeared. And Wonka asks Grandpa Joe if he's ever read Alexander Dumas, The Count of Monte Cristo.
And Three Musketeers, man.
Yes, but no, he specifically asked about the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Not Monte Cristo.
D'Artagnan. Give me D'Artagnan and the Three Musketeers any day of the week. On God. Oh,
okay, but first of all, two different stories, and yeah. The Three Musketeers has nothing to do with Wonka's anecdote. And second of all, he's not saying Monte Cristo, he's saying Monte Crisco, like the shortening you use when you're baking.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Dropping a little knowledge.
Dropping a little knowledge. Yes.
Of old books onto our listeners.
I actually kind of like both stories, but that's a different story. That's a, you know, that's a horse of a different color. I'm actually just kind of surprised you didn't ask him if he'd ever read Alexander Dumbass.
Yeah, true.
Because, you know, I mean, this is the Wonka man. He suggests that the Count of Monte Cristo, unlike Grandpa Joe, doesn't just kill everyone. He embeds himself into their lives, making them miserable until they want to die. Because he's a wolf, like Charlie. That's also why I like Count of Monte Cristo. Because he's... He plays the long game. Wonka leads everyone to an elevator. They can't take the stairs because that's the way Ted went. Charlie, I don't know why they can't follow Ted into the stairs, but you know they can't. Charlie describes the elevator. He has a hard time describing things, much like his dad. So it's a bucket trait, apparently. And then the narrator describes it, and it's nothing at all like Charlie described it. Charlie described it as a big, you know, titanium box. The narrator comes on and is like, no, it's glass, and there are thousands of buttons everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's one button that Wonka does tell Charlie not to push, so, and then we never return to that. Because at that point, I would have straight up just pushed the button right then and there.
True.
Grandpa Joe notices that it is made of glass. Charlie thought it was titanium. I just said that. So it's kind of like a glass titanium composite. Wonka talks about how sometimes people have to break through glass things. And Charlie asks if he means like the glass ceiling that women sometimes have to break through. To which Wonka mutters something about not with his new invention. I'm not sure if his new invention is helpful or a hindrance to women. But it kind of sounds, based on his tone, like it's a hindrance. Before anyone can ask for clarification, Wonka explains that the elevator is made of candy glass. Mike pushes the television button, because there's a button apparently labeled television, and everyone falls over except for Wonka. He's not affected by the laws of physics. Mrs. TV says something about the objects in motion tend to stay in motion, and Wonka is kind of surprised that she believes in science. He's like, no, she didn't believe in science. They read it in Mike's science book and then they burned the book. So they know it. That just doesn't mean that they believe in it. For sure. Wonka tells everybody to hold on this time. But Charlie can't reach the straps, so he's holding on to Grandpa Joe's leg. And Mrs. TV is praying. Then she feels sick. So Wonka cuts a hole in the floor of the elevator and tells her to lean over like Augustus did at the river. And that he will brace her from behind. To which Mike says that he's going to brace his mom. So this is not the first time that we get that Freudian slip.
Yeah.
But in the confusion, she snatches Willie's hat off of his head and pees in it. Because apparently she had to pee really bad. I thought she was going to be sick in it, but. There you go. The elevator stops in a white room and she gives the hat back to Wonka like a blessing. He puts the hat back on his head and it makes a squishy sound. They walk around the room bumping into things because everyone is blinded by the white. It's everything is painted the exact same color, so they can't see anything. Mrs. TV wants to know who is touching her butt, and Charlie apologizes. He didn't see it because her butt is also the same color of blinding white. So Mike tells her to put her pants back on. Wonka hands out sunglasses to everyone, not because it'll help them see, but because they all look really cool. The room is bare except for a camera at one end surrounded by Oompa Loompas and spacesuits. Grandpa Joe asks if Charlie still has the knife. And one of the Garys taunts Grandpa Joe that they've made even more Garys. One of the Oompa Loompas explains that three kids have now died and hopes that the others do too. All they have to do is walk up to the TV and Gary, we don't know which one, tells them that whatever channel it's on, it will have something to do with how they die. Kind of like The Ring or in Poltergeist, the TV will be the harbinger of death. Charlie says they aren't going separately anywhere. They all have to go together. And Grandpa Joe says that they all always come together in the bucket house. Because, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We all come together in the bucket house. Mike was going to say he was going to let Charlie go first, but then reminds him that no, that's not going to work either. Wonka explains that they are making a film that involves candy and sensuality. Basically, he's making a porno, let's face it. Probably a chocolate-covered porno at this point.
Probably.
Yeah. He has the kids... And then he has the kids audition. They sit on a stoop and imagine that a dog is walking by with their mortal enemy. Mike is the first one to audition. He wants to do it his way first and then's like, yeah, then you can give me notes if you don't like the way I do it. So they ask him if he sees his mortal enemy, at which point he sees Grandpa Joe and sees what was happened. Grandpa Joe starts trying to apologize for what happened back in Vietnam. And of all the people Grandpa Joe has killed, he left Mike for dead. And he ended up in a prison camp with one John McCain. Then he realizes that Mike is not 17 and a half after all. Mike was 17 and a half during Vietnam when he enlisted. So we now have confirmation. Mike is not really a child, although we knew that. Wonka interrupts the narrator with notes for Mike because he doesn't like the way the audition's going, of course. Some of the Garys come into the room with a huge bar of chocolate the size of a bed and tell Mike that he can use that as a weapon against Grandpa Joe. One of the Garys, who they've labeled the psycho-looking one, tells Mike to get into the bed. And the way they have distorted this Gary's voice is kind of fucking creepy. I'm not even going to lie. not Dr. Rosenblum creepy, but it's kind of creepy. They ask Mike if I can hear myself echoing in your apartment.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. They ask Mike if he likes almonds. And he says no, he doesn't. So now Psycho Gary says somebody's gonna have an allergic reaction. Wonka gives Mike a flower and tells him he wants him to be his champion and to beat Grandpa Joe in a fight. Grandpa Joe asks Charlie for the knife and a flower. Charlie's like, where the hell am I gonna get a flower? But he does have some more of the fizzy lifting drink and gives that and the knife to Grandpa Joe, who cuts himself just to feel something. Mrs. TV at some point has once again grabbed Wonka's hat. This time she does puke in it and presumably gives it back to him.
The audacity.
I know. A fight starts and then there's this weird sound and Mike disappears. Mrs. TV thinks that it's the rapture and Mike is the only one who's been saved. But then one of the Garys turns on the TV and there's a small mic on it. Gary explains that Mike has been shrunk down and is now on the television, and that's how he's going to die. Grandpa Joe asks if the fight is going to continue and he and Mike taunt each other. Grandpa Joe asks to be beamed over onto the television with Mike so they can continue the fight. Mrs. TV gives Mike a toothpick to use as a weapon. Charlie tosses the knife into the television, but it doesn't shrink. So, of course, it almost crushes Mike and Grandpa Joe. But because of the fizzy lifting drink that Grandpa Joe just drank right before he got shrunk down, it actually returns him back to normal size. And he is returned to normal size with a toothpick in his dick. Because where else would the toothpick be?
I mean, it clearly isn't used for the mouth.
Yeah. Mrs. TV asks the Willy Man if her son is okay. She thinks he's cute this way and that maybe he can get some things done that he wasn't getting done before. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But she still wants him back, brought back to normal size.
Yep.
Yeah, Mrs. TV's kind of a little perv. Wonka says no because he was his champion and now he failed. So Mrs. TV says he didn't fail because the Bible tells us to turn the other cheek. And Mike says the Bible also talks about David and Goliath and threatens Grandpa Joe even more. So Grandpa Joe says he's not even going to pull the toothpick out of his dick. He's just going to go defeat Mike with his dick. There are many dick jokes, as usual. They just, no pun intended, pop up everywhere. Mrs. TV picks up Mike and puts him in her breast pocket. And then, oops, she missed the pocket. Ooh, my. Wonka says they can take him to the taffy pulling room or the Iron Maiden room and stretch him out. Mike says he can't handle any more torture, so Wonka sends them away and calls over the psycho-looking Gary, the one that threatened him with almonds, and he sings a song about the evils of television. This one, the psycho Gary is Gary number 473, which is apparently a female Gary. So she tells her to take them, you know, Wonka tells her to take Mrs. TV and Mike wherever she wants to. So she doesn't finish singing the song. She does a dramatic reading where she says, kerplop, 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 number 473. Charlie tells Grandpa Joe he needs to kill Gary number 473. Grandpa Joe tells Charlie that he doesn't think he could have beaten Mike in a fair fight because he's already 52. He was already 52 when he was in Vietnam and Mike was only 17. So we have no idea how old these people are now. Ted Cruz comes back wanting to know who was saying the kerplops because that's his safe word. And they tell him it was Gary 473. Ted tells everyone, that's a safe word. I just said that. Grandpa continues that he is afraid of number 473. And yeah, I don't blame Grandpa Joe. I'm kind of afraid of 473 myself. But Gary turns back and asks if they know what happens when someone says its name. It takes a piece of their soul. Grandpa feels part of his soul being taken. Gary number two comes along and says, he may have gone too far in making this one. And Grandpa promises Gary number two a quick death if he keeps Gary number 43 away from him. But then Gary number two tells Gary number 43 to just have his way with the old man. And 473 starts sucking at his soul again. And that's where this episode ends. I don't know if I took a breath during all of that. We're going to have to work on our timing. I feel like I'm not devoting time to improv on tape like I should.
You're devoting plenty of time to improv on tape.
Well, that's just because they're long episodes.
Yep.
But anyway, that was that.
I got nothing.
I got no plugs. It's only been a week. So I got death to do. And we don't have any listener questions as usual because, you know,
nope.
Contacting us.
Strong silent type.
Yes. Which normally I admire, but come on, listeners, feel free to ask us questions. Ask us anything you want. If we don't have an answer, we'll make shit up. So anyway, yeah, if we got nothing else, then this has been Shotgun Saturday Nights. It is edited and produced by Don Blake and is outlined by me, Dana Olson. Follow us on Twitter at ShotgunSammy71 or email us your questions at ShotgunSaturdayNights@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, share, and review.
Thank you for listening to Shotgun Saturday Nights, an unofficial King Falls AM fan cast. Our intro music is Get Ready by Fesleyan Studios, and our outro track is The Slumber of the Blackwood by As Above, So Below off their album Readers 2, which is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Until next time.